Time to share. It's time to share. Why should the Blair Show get all of Brunt? We should get some too. So good morning, Stephen Brunt.
Hey, Elliot. How are you?
I'm doing well. We've got 30 and sunshine here today. What's going on in Newfoundland?
We have a beautiful sunny day, but it's a little, it's somewhat cooler than that. When I went out fishing very early yesterday morning, and as I got out of my car, the car thermometer said 3 degrees. So there you go.
And what does early mean for a fisherman?
5:30, 5:45, something like that.
Brunt, I know we want to talk CFL, but I know you're a man like myself who loves this sweet science. What did you think of the Pacquiao debacle? I mean, we were talking about Tuesday. The only thing to me that rival, did Liston dive and the South Korean judges and Roy Jones Jr. Like, that was terrible.
Well, the one card especially was crazy. The 117-111 was nuts. But, you know, two things, Jones. Yeah, it was a terrible decision. It was a really, really smelly decision. But Pacquiao's done. And, you know, and there's no shame in that. The guy's had a great, and, you know, he's been fighting as a pro since he was 16. And he's, 38 now? The old Pacquiao is gone. And, you know, we should have known that. So,
but he still won that fight, Brunt.
Yeah, he won that fight against a guy who's no good at all, though. Right? Who's never beaten anyone.
Yeah.
And is very, very limited. You know, aggressive, but super limited. A guy, you know, and even at half decent, Manny Pacquiao knocks that guy out in 3 rounds. So I was kind of sad. You know, it's like, obviously, yeah, the decision, you got a fight that's kind of on, you know, quasi-free television, and there's a big audience, and, you know, a lot of people love Manny. And it's a shame that, you know, for boxing that you get that kind of decision, but. You know, part of me just watched it and thought, I kind of hope that's the last go around for him. He can go, you know, be a full time politician in the Philippines and
take his guitar and sing, right?
Yeah, but they never do, right? So I assume we'll see him again.
Talking sports with Stephen Brunt. The Blue Jays win yesterday. That's 2 in a row. Who knows? Maybe they have a good weekend against the Astros. I mean, if your management, which are you supposed to be following? The fact that they're 5 out of a wild card and that gives them an opportunity, or they're few games under 500 and that means they haven't been a very good team this year?
Well, it's a tricky one, right? Because, look, I don't think they're going to do anything radical either way. And I would have said that when things looked a little rosier, you know, 3 weeks ago. I don't think they're going to mortgage any of their future to go out and add to try and win this year. But I also don't think that they're anxious to do kind of a radical teardown, because it doesn't really make sense when you've got Sanchez and Stroman and Osuna, you know, some young players who are incredibly valuable, who you control for the next few years. It's not really time to go down to the, and you shouldn't have to go down to the foundation with the ownership you have in the market you're playing in. You really shouldn't have to do that. So, but they are caught betwixt in between. And look, anybody who's been listening to Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkin since they arrived, they have talked about, you know, the kind of predicament of having an old team. And, you know, it's very hard. You can't get younger through free agency. The only way you can get younger and, you know, quote-unquote more athletic is by bringing guys through your own system. And they don't have a bunch of guys who are knocking on the door. They've got some interesting guys in high or low A ball, but that's about it.
But there is another way, and I know it's distasteful to many. But and we've heard that the St. Louis Cardinals. We don't know what's true and what's not true. But there are rumors that the Cardinals are knocking on the door and they're asking for Donaldson. And another way to get younger and athletic. I mean, the Cardinals have talent in their minor league system. They got a top flight catcher in Carson Kelly. They got Harrison Bader, who's an outfielder. They have pitchers. I mean, if they offer you two or three of those guys and they want Donaldson, you have to listen.
If they offer you two or three of those guys and they only want for Donaldson, you make the deal. Even in a season that's kind of teetering in the balance. But, you know, one of the things they have to assess here is, you know, if a complete, absolute win deal is available to them, a no-brainer deal, yeah, you do that. Because that, if they're major league ready guys, because that allows you to reset for 2018, 2019 when you still have controllable pitching. But you also have to decide whether that Donaldson deal is better now, you know, between now and the end of the month, or it's better in the off season. And look, it's not like, you know, Josh Donaldson's not having a very good year. I don't know if anyone's noticed, but he's not, you know, in Josh Donaldson terms, he's been pretty mediocre. So, you're not exactly selling high on him. And I think you've got to, that's a difficult calculation.
Yeah.
Because the return has to be, it doesn't have to be just good. It has to be good and close, close to the major leagues. If you get the guys you're talking about, if you get two or three of those guys, yes, you do it, and you kind of swallow hard and say that's the end of 2017. But I don't think you do it for the sake of doing it. Let's put it that way.
And in that same vein, Stephen, do you throw your hands up? Do you throw the towel in on this season? They're kind of, as we said before, they're in it but they're not in it. They're out of it but they're not out of it. You talked about 18, 19 and a potential deal. What about this year? I mean, we're just past the halfway mark, and it doesn't look great. And then they go to New York and win 2 out of 3, and
Yeah, and
where
and
are you?
Sanchez is coming.
It's
back.
Coming back, yeah.
But the tricky part about this year, is that the things that you would have thought you could have counted on, some of them haven't. Obviously there've been some injury issues, but. Estrada has not been the guy you've been able to count on, the incredibly reliable Marco Estrada. So that you haven't had that. Liriano has been, I guess, predictably erratic. But your rotation has not been as much the kind of foundation, the bulwark of this team as you thought it was going to be. But there's still, you look at those five guys or the six guys when you throw in Biagini and you say, boy, if they ever got rolling, that's a great rotation. That's as good as anybody in the American League East,
yes.
Probably. Although Boston's pretty good right now. There's a temptation to let this thing play out a little bit. And the other part of that is if you do white flag at 4.5 games out, again, you've still got to kind of be realistic about what that means. So that means you're going to get rid of the free agents to be. So you're going to trade Estrada. Well, what are you going to get for Estrada right now? You're going to trade Jose Bautista? Well, he can veto the trade. And what are you going to get for Jose Bautista if he doesn't veto the trade? You can trade Liriano. Same thing. So, it's kind of a, cost-benefit analysis, right? You have to sit there and say, well, we can attempt to hang in at a time when, there's a bunch of teams between us and the second wild card, but it's not all that far away, and we still kind of like some of our pieces. Or we can sell, but you only sell if there's a reason to sell. I think you go out and move those guys, you're going to lose them anyway. There's no kind of qualifying offers situation with them, so it's not, you don't hang on to them for a draft pick. But that is a tricky calculation still right now. And let's see how they do in this Astros series. If they hang in there, hopes will get a little bit higher, and people will start looking around and say, "Well, there's lots of other teams with questions." But I think we're going to be in a selling situation to some degree. But I think it's going to be a very measured selling situation. This is not. It's not a fire.
It's not a fire sale.
There's no reason to have a fire sale. You shouldn't have to with this.
But Stephen Brunn, it's 8:43 in Newfoundland. It's only 7:13 here. There's a new commissioner of the CFL. His name is Randy Ambrosio. I would imagine most people don't know a whole lot about this guy. It's assumed that his number one job is to find a way to help put people in the seats in Toronto. Is that the biggest thing that he has to do here? How does he do that?
Yeah, him and the last, 10 commissioners? It was interesting watching. I watched the press conference yesterday. And he's stylistically was interesting because the Jeffrey Orange, the previous commissioner, was a pretty slick guy, but was a disaster as a commissioner. But very polished. And Randy Ambrosio goes up there. He's not wearing a tie. He's very down to earth. He's a guy who played offensive line. The least glamorous position in football. Made a very successful in business. Smart guy. But I would think he was. As the flip side to the last guy, I think he would be very comforting for CFL fans because they say, well, here's a guy who played the game, who understands the league, who's, Canadian, not pretending that he watched it growing up in Brooklyn like Jeffrey Orange did. It's authentic. It's kind of an organic selection. What's on his plate is what's on the plate of almost every guy going back to, I don't know, how far do you want to go back to, like the 80s? There are some really good things that have happened in that league. They got a bunch of new stadiums. I don't know if anybody you guys saw the game in Saskatchewan with the new stadium there, but it's ridiculous. It's a fantastic stadium, and it'll be packed every game. The game is very healthy in the prairies, but Toronto is a black hole. BC is not what it was at all, and they're second to the MLS team there is a bigger deal than they are. Montreal is going to be problematic, I think, in the very near future, and even Hamilton, where the team stinks right now, off one game anyway. Watch that one. So, he comes in with exactly the same assets and exactly the same liabilities as every CFL commissioner in the last 25 years. And I look, the Toronto one, there's no miracle. Like, we all, there's no, you know, it's like when they say, well, we got to get the kids back. We got to get the youth market. We're going to engage through social media and through Twitter and through, everybody's trying to do that, right? Everybody's trying to sell that stuff, you know, and you can't force it. You know, you can't turn the CFL into esports. That's not going to work. You know, so the solution, you know, such as it is you play to the league's strengths. It's a good TV product. You're absolutely front of mind in the West, and you hope you have an owner in Toronto who's going to swallow a bunch of losses so you can keep the team alive.
Wow. It's again, of our vintage, Brent and Elliot, the same way. It's sad to see the CFL in the state that it's in.
But you know, I got to say that most of my adult life, it's been in that state. You know, like I'm a Hamilton guy. You guys know, right? I grew up with the league. I love the league. I love, you know, I've been going to Ticat games since I was 4 years old. It was very much a part of the city's identity and my identity. And so I get it. I'm not a Toronto guy who sneers at the CFL at all. But, you know, when I was a newspaper columnist, I don't know how many columns I wrote about the death of this team or the death of the league or the imminent death of the league or U.S. expansion to save the league or, you know, that's not new. That's going back a long, long time. And, you know, I think the conclusion you draw after many years of that is it's going to putter along, and people are going to be crazy for it in Saskatchewan and Winnipeg and Calgary and Edmonton are going to do fine. And the rest of the league is going to be an adventure. That's just what it is. And I don't see anything as we, you know, move deeper into the 21st century. I don't really see anything that's going to change that.
By the way, semi-off topic, a tip of the cap to a friend of mine, Toronto architect from Montreal, who Mark Barris, who designed that stadium in Regina, Saskatchewan. You know, is it time that we admit that it's okay for the forever, Stephen? It's been, well, you know, if Vancouver and Montreal and Toronto and it doesn't, then the CFL will die. Can we get past that?
Yeah, I think so. Look, we probably should also get past to, you know, anybody saying, like, there was a reference to Exhibition Stadium the other day at that, you know, let's make it like it was in the 70s at Exhibition Stadium. Well, that's
not coming back. Yeah.
It's not coming back, right? That's not going to happen ever again. And it's a different place, and it's a different market, and it's going to be, you know, at best, it's going to have a niche. So, no, the league will chug along because it does decent TV numbers, you know, and the Toronto team will continue because it's owned by the people who own the TV network. So they want to keep it going. So, yeah, and what are you going to see? You're going to see a lot of empty seats in Toronto, and you're going to see that beautiful stadium in Saskatchewan packed full of people for whom it is the number one sport, you know. We did Rogers Media, McLean's did a huge survey, a Canada 150 thing that I was involved with. And it's amazing looking at the data. One of the things is, you know, look at where the CFL ranks in the different parts of Canada. And, you know, it's kind of marginal in the East. It's pretty strong in Alberta. And in Saskatchewan, it's the number one sport. Like, it's bigger than hockey in Saskatchewan. So, you know, it's a distinct society, right? We have it's a funny country we live in. That's one of the blips, but as long as people watch it on TV, and as long as there are enough places and there's enough people willing to pay the bills, yeah, it'll keep chugging along. And again, I say this with, you know, I like the product. It's not perfect. It has, you know, it has its flaws. The officiating's terrible, but I'll sit down and watch a CFL game. Yeah. And I'm happy to go and support my home team.
I'm with you, Brent. I love the game itself is what I really love. Yeah.
It's, you know, I'm not saying it's better than any, like that whole three down versus four down thing. I grew up watching both games. I like both games. They're different games.
Yeah.
You know, and the NFL is less different from the CFL now than it was once upon a time because
they throw the ball.
It's as wide open as anything we do up here. So you can enjoy them both. People shouldn't sneer at it, but I understand that they're going to.
Great talking with you, Stephen. Get an app. Tomorrow's another fishing day, you know.
I believe it is.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Stephen.
See you, boys.